and receive grace that will help us in our time of need. And God, who sits on that throne, is able to make all grace abound toward you. He can make all grace abound toward you. Now, it's important that we understand that God can make all grace abound toward you. God can make all grace abound toward you. Hallelujah. Which means that there are different kinds of grace. Different kinds of grace. For instance, there's grace for career success. I can't hear myself. Am I still? There's grace for career success. When it comes on you, you succeed in your career. There's grace for academia. When it comes on you, you prosper academically. You succeed if you know you don't fail exams. You are sharp. You progress. You rise from your doctorate to master's, and there's no field that you will venture into that you won't break through there. It's grace. There is grace for marital success. Grace for marital success. And if you're a married person, you can believe God for this kind of grace for marital success, to succeed in your marriage. Hallelujah. There is grace for managing people, irrespective of their challenges or where they come from or who they really are. Grace for managing people. This is like the pastoral grace that you can manage people, you can handle people no matter who they are. There's grace, all kinds of grace out there. There's grace for wealth creation, grace for prosperity. Hallelujah. Grace for prosperity. I know you would venture into anything and you would just prosper. Amen. Stones would turn to gold in your hands. You know, you dig wells in dry lands and fountains, they flow out of them. Grace for wealth creation and prosperity. And there's grace for ministry exploits. There's grace for longevity of life. All kinds of grace. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 is saying that God can and is able to make all this grace abound toward you. Which means you can receive grace for whatever success that you need, for whatever breakthrough that you need in life. You can receive grace for every sphere of life, for every endeavor of yours. There is grace, and God can make all of this grace abound toward you. And it's important that we understand, when we talk about grace, you know, it's important to understand what's this grace? Some people would say it's God's unmerited mercy. Absolutely, that is it. But it's much, much deeper than that. Grace is another word for God's enablement, God's empowerment, God equipping, God anointing you to function and to succeed in the place of your calling, to succeed in your endeavor, to succeed in every sphere of life that you engage in. The enablement, the empowerment, the equipping, the anointing of the Holy Ghost pulled by God upon someone so he can function wherever he is, in everything that he engages in, and there succeed. That's grace. The grace of God is what enables someone to do what he cannot do naturally and succeed in the places where he won't succeed. Succeed where it's hard. Succeed where people have failed before. Succeed in something that has never worked for anyone before. Grace is the empowerment put on God, on someone by God, to enable him to succeed. And when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, or chapter 9 verse 8 rather, it says that this grace is able to make you enjoy abundance, enjoy prosperity, is able to make you have dominion over lack. The Bible says when the grace of God is functioning upon you, you can have and enjoy sufficiency. You will never lack. When grace is functioning in your life, you will not lack. And I'm asking that this grace will come upon you, Victory Assembly, this morning in the name of Jesus. Grace to enjoy abundance, supply. Grace to enjoy prosperity. Grace to enjoy increase. Grace to dominate lack. Grace to dominate lack. You will not lack in anything that is good in the name of Jesus. Grace also enables someone to do good works. If you read again, you know, our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency, hallelujah, in all things, you blossom, you break through, you enlarge, you increase, you expand. Surplus supply is your portion this week, Victory Assembly, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this grace can enable you, can empower you to do good works. Grace is what enables someone to do good works. And good works is more than showing of kindness. It involves giving of your substance to those that need from you. It involves showing of kindness to people. But good works is also talking about having the power to do no harm, to do no evil to someone. It's the grace of God that enables someone to do no harm. He can do no harm. It does not matter what's ongoing, he can do no harm. The grace of God is what empowers someone, a believer, to not pay evil for evil. It enables him to do good works, that he can do good stuff to someone who does not deserve it from him. It takes the grace of God to do the right thing in the place where it's difficult. It takes the grace of God to live right, do right, stand right in this crooked and perverse generation. The grace of God helps you to do what's right, what's good. It enables you to apply God's principles to your life. It enables you to be like Jesus. Grace. And you and I can receive this grace at that place that's called the throne of grace. There is a throne of grace that the Bible admonishes that there, when we come, we can receive grace that we need for help in time of need. And every believer must learn to come there. Every believer must learn to approach the throne of grace. Approach the throne of grace daily, consistently. Because you and I need grace every day and in everything. The throne of grace is the believer's prayer closet where he can encounter God. The believer's prayer closet where he can feel God, where he can behold God, where he can engage God. And the believer must have a prayer closet. The man that seeks grace, must have a prayer closet and a prayer time. He must have a time with God. It is said that a prayerless believer is a powerless believer. If you see anyone who is struggling, who feels helpless, powerless, is because he does not come to that place of that throne room of grace. If a believer knows how to come to that throne of grace, where grace is given, all grace, he is powerful. That's why a prayerful believer is a powerful believer, and a prayerless believer is a powerless believer. A prayerless believer, he is easily a prey of Satan. Easily will collapse at the confrontation that comes from Satan. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." You and I must come to that throne room of grace consistently. Consistently. Alone time with God. You and God. It's very important. You know, for a believer, it's important to see the Word of God, the Bible, as the very Word of God. It's important. You as a believer, that you see it that way. The Bible is the very Word of God. Amen to that. But you must also see the Bible as the book of instruction. The book of instruction. You must see the Bible as the book of guide, a guide, a compass. The Bible, a book of answers to human questions. And the believer must study the Bible because it's the Word of God, so he can know the Word of God and not just know it for knowing's sake, but so he will know what to do. So he will know what to do, how to approach, how to engage life. And if you need grace, the Bible says there is all grace available and God can make it abound toward you. There's no aspect of life that you can lack grace in if you can come to the throne of grace. But you have to learn to come to that throne of grace. Hallelujah. And there are two things in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 and 16 about the kind of prayer at the throne room that releases grace. There is a way to approach the throne room. There is a way to pray in the throne room for grace to be released. The Bible is a book of instruction. It shows you that there is grace, and God is able to make all this grace abound toward you. Hallelujah. Hebrews Hebrews, the scripture we read, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16, it says, "For we do not have an high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Hallelujah. So I want to share with you just these two things quickly, that it's important to make the prayer that will release grace. In the name of Jesus, receive grace as this week you come into God's throne room. May it be not just a religious activity for you. May it not just be something that believers do to feel righteous, to feel holier than thou. May that prayer time, alone with God time, be so empowering, so life-transforming for you. Nobody should come to that place and remain the same. Receive the ability to overcome life challenges, break through hard situations, prevail over darkness, succeed in the place of your assignment. In the name of Jesus. The first thing that is important to understand is that we are to approach God being aware that we are weak, don't have power of our own, and cannot make anything happen without the help of God. Very, very important that we approach God with this mindset, that we are weak, cannot make anything happen of our own, don't have power of our own. We need God. We need God. "For we do not have an high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness." God understands your weakness. God sees your weakness. You are mere mortal, human being. It's your weakness actually that should drive you to the throne room. You know that you are limited. You know that you've not got power to make something happen. You cannot even cure a fly. Your weakness, your humanity is what should drive you to the throne room. Anyone that does not go to the throne room is someone who feels so powerful, invincible, intelligent, smart, and he can deal with life and solve problems without the help of God in his life. But the understanding of your weakness is what should drive you to the throne room. When you come before God, you have to be aware that you are in need of God. You are in need of God. There's nothing to brag about. You have nothing to brag about. You have nothing before God to show as an achievement. When we come to God, we recognize how fragile we are, how limited we are, how powerless we are to change our situations, to succeed, to prevail, to travail, and to move forward in life. Without the help of God, we are weak. But when we come, God sees that weakness. He understands that weakness. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, a scripture that you must be familiar with, I believe. It says, but he said to Paul, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made manifest in weakness. You see, God's power is manifested, is revealed, only in the area that we demonstrate weakness. We show that we need God. We show that we're powerless. We show that we're limited. My grace is sufficient for you. That's all you need to count on. That's all you need to depend on in life. My grace. It is sufficient for you. That's all that you need. My grace. If I can put my grace upon you, doesn't matter where you stand, doesn't matter who you're with, it doesn't matter the situation around you. Your climate is immaterial. My grace is sufficient for you. Whether you are educated, whether you are uneducated, whether you come from a wealthy background or not, whether you're in Africa, Asia, Europe, my grace alone is sufficient. All that you need is my grace. And when you recognize how weak and helpless and powerful you are, then my grace manifests. That's what God said to Paul. For my power is made manifest in weakness. And Paul said, therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses so that the power of God may manifest on me. You have nothing to boast about. When you come before God seeking for God's help, for God's grace, you have nothing to boast about, nothing to show, nothing to show, for you are insufficient on your own. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything about ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I like it in the New International Version. It says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Hallelujah. Never be ashamed to show weakness before God, to show how helpless you are. Amen. Never. It's not lack of faith. You see, one of the attitudes to approach in the place of prayer is humility. In need of God. You're in need of God. God, I'm coming because you are my source of survival. Without you, I absolutely can do nothing. I'll fumble, I'll fail. I'm finished. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You cannot come to God with the Pharisee's spirit. The Pharisee's spirit. Jesus gave us a story, you know, to teach us about the attitude to come to prayer with in Luke chapter 18. He talked about two types of people that approached the throne room. He said one was a Pharisee, and when he came to God, he bragged. He said, oh God, I am not like that sinner man. I don't rob people, I don't commit adultery, I'm not a tax collector, I pay tithes, I fast. Jesus said, but his prayer didn't count. That's not an attitude to come to God with. You come to God feeling weak and helpless. And Jesus said, but this other guy who was a tax collector, he would not even look up to heaven. He stood, as far as he was concerned, at a distance, far from God. He didn't feel he qualified for the presence of God. Wouldn't even look to heaven. And he beat his chest and he cried and he said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm not even worthy to be justified before you. And Jesus said, who do you think was justified? Jesus was trying to teach about humility in the place of prayer. Humility. What should drive you to God is because of your weakness and helplessness and need of God. Actually, there's nothing that you can ever do to make you qualify by yourself. One of the greatest mistakes that Christians would do is thinking that fasting will change God. If for you to throw fasting to God as a qualification to be blessed, as you're even missing the point. You see, fasting does not change God. Fasting is good, but it doesn't change God. It doesn't bribe God. It's only good for you. It's a spiritual exercise. It makes you deal with issues in your life. It helps you become more sensitive to God. It brings you to that place where you can hear God more clearly. It's your own spiritual exercise. Fasting does not make God answer your prayers more than he would if you have not fasted and prayed. You cannot approach God with any qualification. And when we come, he feels our weaknesses. He sees them. He understands them. And he will never condemn you for feeling that way. That's what qualifies you for the grace of God. And we also finally need to approach God's throne of grace with confidence. With confidence. Now, I will need to explain this because you may find it contradictory, except you look deeper to understand what Scripture is teaching here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You need to come to God with confidence. With confidence. Hallelujah. Confidence. Confidence is required to approach the throne of grace in order to receive grace. Praying with confidence. Approaching God with confidence. The Bible shows us that God rewards confidence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. God rewards confidence. And it's important to be able to know the difference between coming to God, being aware of your weaknesses, and being confident. Being confident here is talking about you coming to God, being confident, being assured about who he is. You come to God being assured about who he is. You know who he is. You know who he says you are. You know who he says you are. You know how God sees you. You know that he's a covenant-keeping God. You know what his word says. Hallelujah. Now it's important to understand that you are not at that place where the tax collector was. The tax collector was at that place prior to redemption. He was a sinner. So the Bible is not saying to come to God feeling like a tax collector, feeling like a sinner. It's coming to God feeling helpless, feeling powerless without God, feeling weak, feeling human, fragile, that you cannot make anything happen. You cannot even heal a fly. But then, understanding God, who He is, who He says you are, and how He sees you, understanding that He's a covenant-keeping God and He will keep promises, is very significant when you come to pray. Hallelujah. The teaching in Luke chapter 18, it's talking about humility. Humility, that's the central point in that passage that Jesus communicates. It's humility. But you in Christ Jesus, you're not a sinner. So I'm not saying come to God feeling like a sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner, unrighteous, not qualified to be blessed by God. No, no, you don't come to God feeling that way. It's not being confident. In terms of your relationship with God, you have to feel confident. In terms of how God sees you, you have to feel confident. In terms of what God can do because you have prayed, you have to feel confident about that. Because in Christ Jesus, you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus. You are sanctified. You are sanctified. I'd like you to put your hand on your chest, everyone, and say with me, I am sanctified. I am sanctified. Hallelujah. What that means is that, you see, it doesn't matter where you think you are right now. Anytime God sees you, He sees a sanctified person. God sees a holy person. God sees someone that is righteous. Not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did. In Christ Jesus, the Bible says you are made the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. God sees you as the righteousness of God. You are no longer a sinner. You are joint heir with Jesus. Hallelujah. Not a stranger anymore to God. Not a foreigner. Not separated from God. There is no more enmity between you and God. You are joint heir with Jesus. In other words, you are made qualified. You are made qualified. Jesus qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. You deserve to be blessed. You deserve God to help you. You deserve God to bless you. You deserve God to increase you. You deserve God to answer you and change your life. You deserve that because Jesus qualified you. You have to come feeling that confident that He was going to do. He's going to do what you seek for. And it's all because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What gives you confidence before God is not the tithe that you pay. It's not the offering and the seeds that you've given. It's not even the fasting. What gives you confidence is the blood of Jesus. And you have to come understanding that covering over your life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19, reading from the New International Version, says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus, I can approach God not feeling condemned. I know I'm accepted there. And you pay attention to my cry. You are not to approach God like a sinner, feeling like a sinner. Hallelujah. If you feel like a sinner, then you're not going to deserve it. You have to come feeling confident, feeling that you know that you qualify. Amen. You know, it's a bad attitude to come before God, oh God, I'm a sinner. I know I'm not even qualified to pray. It's a bad attitude. It's a bad attitude to every time you want to pray, God, if there's any sin in me, please forgive me. You are being sin conscious. Any sin that I carry, Lord, any sin, you've been sin conscious. You have to come feeling righteous, feeling holy, feeling sanctified, feeling like a joint heir with Jesus, qualified to be blessed. You approach the throne of God feeling confident. There's no need going about making all the confessions of sins that you know nothing about. Any time a believer who is working with God breaks the covenant, violates the scriptures, the Holy Spirit shows him. He will bring it to light. Don't go searching for things that don't exist. You're just being sin conscious. You're just being sin conscious. And you cannot approach God with that attitude and receive grace. That's what the Bible says. We have to come with confidence. Therefore, brothers and sisters, seeing we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. You have to come feeling qualified. I really desire for God to bless me. Not because of anything, but because of what Jesus has accomplished for me when he hung on the cross and died. Finally, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. And this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Come feeling confident. Hallelujah. I release you, VA, into a week of miracle, a week of a new experience with God, a sense of visitation for you this week. May you not miss the place, miss the location, miss God's timing. May God meet you wherever you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I stand in agreement with you that your life will transform. Healing will come. Breakthrough will come. Deliverance will come. Enlargement will come. Closed doors will open. That resistance of the devil will collapse. In the name that is above all names, according to your several needs, may that visitation make your needs, all of them, come to pass. In the name of Jesus, I reach out to you by faith, connecting to you wherever you are, and I bless the week for you. You are blessed. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace, abundant grace we receive in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God.